Welcome to Bucks County Conversations. I'm Charlotte Reese. This is a production of the Bucks County Commissioner's Communications Department and your source for real conversations happening within the Bucks County government.
When reentry is successful, everyone benefits.
Today we are talking about the 95% of incarcerated individuals who return to society, according to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, and how the Bucks County Reentry Coalition is helping connect people with resources and support.
We're a collection of volunteers and advocates for justice-involved individuals.
You'll hear from Michael Harrison, Chair of the Coalition and Deputy Chair of Bucks County Adult Probation and Parole, and Megan Cohen, a sub-chair of the Coalition and founder of her own nonprofit, The Grace Project.
Give people a way to do something good, and a lot of people are going to jump on board with that.
This is Bucks County Conversations. Mike, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Charlotte.
Great. So, Mike, just to start, can you tell me about the Reentry Coalition in your own words, kind of explain it a little bit?
Sure. So, the Bucks County Reentry Coalition was born out of a very small committee that my department, Adult Probation and Parole, had with our Department of Corrections. It was about, going on 5 years ago now. We had a small committee formed to improve reentry services or talk about improving reentry services in the county. And when we talk about reentry, we're talking about prisoner reentry, people coming back to the community after a period of incarceration. So that committee, we did some really good foundational work, but we also got a state grant to hire a consultant to come in and do essentially an evaluation assessment of the quote-unquote reentry system in the county. And one of the recommendations that came out of that consultant's work was to form a county reentry coalition. And this has been a project supported by the court, the commissioners. We're under the umbrella of the Bucks County Criminal Justice Advisory Board, which Matt Weintraub, the DA, is chair of. We were kind of born out of a government project, but it's grown into this great government and community partnership. So the primary mission of the Reentry Coalition is to provide information and access to resources for justice-involved individuals and their families and folks who work with those individuals. Another primary mission of the coalition is to enhance collaboration between all of these professional partners. And it's really just been humbling and just such a joy to go through this journey. You know, we kicked off the coalition with a meeting at Holy Family University in November 2019. And I remember the vice chair of the coalition at the time was Dave Kratz, who's now the director at the DOC. And I remember Dave and I talking, and we were wondering if it would just be him and I, you know, sitting in the room by ourselves, but over 80 people showed up. And it was not just government folks, but it was, you know, people from the treatment community, housing, education, employment. The DA was there, the public defender, Ann Faust, was there. We had people like, you know, Billy Barnes with Workforce and Economic Development has been a huge supporter of this. Donna Duffy Bell with Behavioral Health, Diane Rosati, Drug and Alcohol Commission, folks like Rachel Neff from Human Services, Jeff Fields from the Housing Department, my boss, Christine Schenk, who's the chief of Adult Probation. It's just, you know, it's just been a real joy to have all these people join together. And we've grown from that first meeting in Holy Family. We're a little over 80 coalition member agencies. And I've learned so much about the resources in the county just from this experience and meeting so many dedicated, passionate people.
Mm-hmm. And when you say resources, can you kind of break down a little bit what you guys do and what you offer to people?
Sure. So the coalition, it's not a program per se. We're a collection of volunteers and advocates for justice-involved individuals. So in terms of working towards our mission of providing information and resources to people, we have our website, bucksreentry.com, which the goal is to serve as a one-stop shop to help link people to resources. Resources meaning treatment resources, housing resources, education, employment resources, like CareerLink has been a great partner. They've done some reentrant-friendly job fairs inside the jail and in the community. The faith-based groups have really stepped up, too. There's wonderful agencies like Life Abundant, who works in the jail. A few others, I think Father David's ministry is based out of Mount Carmel here in Doylestown. They do mentoring for justice-involved individuals. So the idea is to do what we call good reentry. Good reentry means that it starts once a person is arrested and incarcerated, right? So it doesn't start right before someone's up for parole. It starts when they initially go into the prison, and then that person is assessed for what their needs are and matched up with resources, programming within the DOC to address those needs, and then meets with DOC case managers, or my department has established a reentry unit. So we have POs based at the DOC to assist with transitional planning to help link up those individuals with resources in the community. And then once they're released, make sure there's appropriate follow-up so folks, you know where they're going, they know where they're living, they have a safe place to live, you know, they have all the treatment resources or other resources they might need that they can take advantage of. Now, it is certainly up to that individual to take advantage of those resources, but as a reentry coalition, we believe in, you know, true opportunities for people. We believe in treating people like human beings, that everyone deserves to be treated with dignity and respect. That statistic, that fact that 95% of people who go to jail are coming back to the community. So it really is in everyone's best interest for that person to be given a chance and increase the likelihood that they'll be successful. Good reentry really is good for everyone, right? It's if someone comes out after a period of incarceration and remains crime-free, law-abiding, gets a job, you know, there are less victims created because of that. There's less crime. Our communities are safer and stronger. It's much better for all the taxpayers. It's a heck of a lot less expensive to work with someone in the community on parole than have them go back to prison and incarcerate them. It is better for police departments, parole departments, DOC, you know, correction departments, all the staff and money that goes into working with us. So when reentry is successful, everyone benefits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like how you say that it's a process, not a program, and it really is up to the individual to take those steps. Have you seen, since you guys have started really with this coalition, have you seen an increase or maybe more of an interest from the inmates or people who are getting out of the prison?
Well, absolutely. And from day one of this initiative, we have always included justice-involved people in the process. You know, I remember someone who has done reentry work at the state level for decades told us when we were starting this that unless you include reentrants, unless you include justice-involved people, people who have been most impacted by the criminal justice system, you know, and get their input, you're doomed for failure. And we took that to heart and from day one have always had justice-involved folks as part of the initiative. You know, we have an executive committee. It's kind of like a board of directors. And there are some folks who've had previous justice involvement helping to guide the coalition from a leadership perspective. We meet on a quarterly basis. And at every meeting, we always have one person who has had justice involvement in their life tell their story of success. And for me, it's really been, I think for a lot of people too, it's really been probably the most impactful part of certainly those meetings, but this whole journey, because you hear these stories and it's people who are literally at rock bottom in their life, you know, burned every bridge with their family and the friends and lost homes, sometimes lost children, and literally at rock bottom. And they talk about how they got there, but they also talk about how they got out and what worked in the system, what didn't work, and what we all can do better. And, you know, a lot of these folks are now, you know, are just hugely successful people, business owners, executive directors of nonprofits, and you hear these stories, and it's just been heartening and humbling. So I think that's a real key to our success as a coalition. We've always involved folks who know most about the criminal justice system, people who walked it.
Another thing that I thought was great that you guys did last year was the reentry simulation, because that's something, I mean, not many people understand what formerly incarcerated people go through. Can you just talk about that a little bit and how it really makes people feel like they are starting at square one?
Yeah, that was a really cool experience. I remember the first time I went through it, and it was eye-opening. And that's pretty much what everybody said that went through it. It's eye-opening. It's a training where essentially a mock post-release scenario is set up where participants in the training are reentrants. They're people who just got paroled, and it presents them with the same kind of challenges and barriers that real-world folks coming out of prison might confront, like how to transportation barriers, and they have to get a job, and they got to see their PO and do drug testing and go to treatment. And it tries to simulate a real life experience. Now, it's a simulation, of course, but it really does, you know, once you get into it, it's a really immersive training. And I'd recommend, you know, anybody who hasn't gone through one, if you get the opportunity, it's really an interesting, eye-opening experience. I'm proud of two of our supervisors, Kelly Lang and Maria Dupree from Adult Probation, got trained in how to facilitate it, and they were kind of the primary facilitators in-house when we did this last, I believe it was last April. And we did a couple with the Domestic Relations Office, my department, DOC. One really good one was at the, what will soon be opening as the new Women's Correctional Facility. It was empty at the time. The DA was there, commissioners, public defender. It was, and all of them said, all of them got into it too. It was, they definitely immersed themselves. And all of them universally said afterward what a worthwhile experience it was to kind of walk in someone's shoes who you wouldn't even think about walking in sometimes, you know, someone getting out of prison and the realities that that person faces in terms of barriers. And that's, you know, with just circling back to what Reentry Coalition members are trying to do. We're trying to decrease or remove those barriers so there aren't so many obstacles in the road for people to be successful.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't mind, a little more of a personal question for you. Did you always kind of know that you wanted to get in this line of work, or what was kind of your calling?
Well, I mean, my calling has always been in the helping field. You know, my background is in psychology and social work. But I think what's driven me to this work specifically is, you know, my belief that there's potential in everyone. Human potential is limitless. And even people who have done some terrible things deserve a chance for redemption, deserve to be treated like human beings with dignity and respect, and provided with some sliver of hope. That has been what has driven me to this work. And also, you know, I love Bucks County. I love my community. I love Pennsylvania. I love this country. And I've always known I've wanted to serve it in some capacity. You know, was I 5 years old saying I want to grow up and be a parole officer and a, you know, chairperson of the Reentry Coalition? Of course not. But I've always known that I wanted to serve my community in some capacity. And I've always known that I've wanted to work in some helping way also.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else just, you know, that you want residents to think about when they think of reentry, when they think of the Reentry Coalition, or even just people at, you know, that are incarcerated?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess everyone out there, just remember back to that first stat you said, 95% of folks who are incarcerated are going to be back in the community. So these people are our neighbors. You know, we have children going to school with parents who are, have justice involvement. So it makes a lot of sense to treat everybody with respect. And just remember, there are so many benefits to giving folks a second chance, a real second chance, and decreasing the likelihood that they're going to go back to jail or commit a new crime. I mean, that's really a community at large to think about. For people in the prison or in the criminal justice system, please know we are not against you. And I think a lot of people in the past probably justifiably have felt that way, where the quote-unquote system was not on their side. But we really do want to give you a true second chance and support you where you can. Now, you need to make the choice to take advantage of any resources that are given to you, but we really do care. We really do care.
After I spoke with Mike, he told me I should talk to Megan Cohen, who is the founder and executive director of the Grace Project, a nonprofit that aims to bring hope to people impacted by sickness, poverty, and addiction.
Basically, what we do is we try to help restore hope through acts of kindness. So we have our Kensington Outreach Program. You know, we bring out supplies to Kensington, try to get people into treatment, and then we have programs for kids and families as well.
Megan doesn't stop there either.
I'm also the Director of Business Development for Promont Wellness, which is an outpatient treatment facility. I sit on the Reentry Coalition as a sub-chair for family support, and I'm on the board of Drug and Alcohol Commission.
Megan, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So it was nice because I got to talk to Mike before this first Reentry Coalition of 2023, the meeting, and now I'm talking to you after it. So can you just kind of tell me how the meeting went today and kind of what you guys went through?
Yeah, so today was actually one of my favorite meetings. I always love when we have a reentrant speaker. That's actually... So when I got involved with Reentry, it was because when I was on drug court, I was asked to speak for them. And I was just like, I had no idea that there was that many people that cared about helping people, you know, to not return back into the system. And I was like, this is something that I want to be a part of. And I had to wait until I was off supervision. So like, I think it was probably the first week that I got off supervision. I was like, hey, I still want to be involved. Can I join? And I did. And I've been at every meeting since. And most meetings we have a reentrant speak. And those are the ones that really like, it reminds me why I do as much as I do like in Bucks County and why specifically Reentry Coalition is so important. And today we had somebody that I believe he was from, I think it was Georgia, but he is like the reentrant god. I mean, he does so much to help the community, not just in Georgia, but like across the U.S. So it was really cool. Like everybody was very linked in and, you know, listening and, you know, put my hand up after. And I was like, I really needed to hear that today because sometimes it can be exhausting. You know, you're putting so much work in and sometimes it feels like, you know, is this getting to the right people or what are we doing this for? And that's through all of the different things that I have going on, you know, and then you have really good speakers like that back to back. And, you know, it keeps it all fresh, like why it's important because there's people that need it. It's just kind of a one-stop shop, really. Like it's, you know, you need help with housing. There's somebody on reentry that can help with housing. You need help with a second chance job. There's somebody who can help with that. Treatment resources, clothing, you know, there really anything that you can think of that's a barrier to somebody actually successfully reentering back into the community, Reentry has a resource for it.
Mm-hmm. And so you've been involved for a little bit with the Reentry Coalition?
I would say probably about... close to 2 years now since I first spoke for them.
How have you seen the meetings kind of change or evolve over the last couple of years?
Yeah, so they keep growing. Really, it's, you know, it seems like as more people get involved, the more that we have the reentrant speakers coming out, reminding people why this is important. It's just the resource list continues to grow and how much they're trying to do and making sure that people know about us, like getting the website, for example. And that was something that they didn't have when I first started working with them, stuff along those lines. So it's become more well known. I think people are starting to kind of put more effort into it because there's a lot of potential with it, with how many people are involved, how many different organizations are involved. Like there's so much that the Reentry Coalition can do to help people that need it. So I think like the passion behind it is starting to grow a lot.
Mm-hmm. What was kind of your inspiration? And let's talk about the Grace Project a little bit. So what was kind of your inspiration for that and getting that started?
So Grace Project wasn't something that was planned. It was actually just something that kind of in a sense, like me and my mom were like, hey, we're going to go out to Kensington, bring food out, try to recreate the same experience that I had that got me off the streets. And it was just going to be like me and her and maybe a couple of friends. And it ended up like I made a post on Facebook and was like, hey, this is what me and my mom are going to do. If anybody wants to join us, let me know. And it took off. You know, the vision for it started growing. And so the last night that I was out in Kensington, I had a complete stranger show me kindness. And she gave me clothes. She helped me take a shower. She gave me warm food. And I have these people that I call my angels from when I was out there, and they're complete strangers. And really all of them, like along the way, they just kind of would plant a seed of hope. And then she was the last one that came along and was, you know, kind of like watered that. And I was like, all right, this is what I needed. Like, this is the sign that I needed. I'm getting out of here. And like, I called my mom and here we are today. I think I had realized that the reason that I had been in treatment, you know, 71 times and that I had been in and out of jail was because like I was suffering from a state of hopelessness. I didn't think that it was possible for my life to be any different. I didn't think that it was possible for me to get clean and sober or like make anything of myself. So what I realized was like these people treating me like a human and showing me that kindness, like that sparked something in me all leading up to that last night where this woman like went out of her way to show me that I was cared about and like remind me that like, hey, you're still a person. Like there's still something that I see in you, even though I don't know you. And it gave me that little spark and I ran with it. And it's really when I think when I had that realization that like how powerful that moment was for me and that even though those other people prior to her didn't necessarily get me off the streets, they did plant a seed, you know, all ultimately leading up to me like turning my life around and, you know, kind of getting things back on track. I really was just like, how can I do the same thing for other people? I want other people that are out there in the same situation as me to get to have like the same experience, to realize that like they can do it too and like take the steps that they need. So it was just this like little idea to give this little glimmer. And it was really like, okay, we'll plant a few seeds. You know, we didn't think it was going to be anything huge. When it got the response that it did, you know, I was like, I don't want to be showy with everything that I'm doing and be like, hey, look what I do. So I was like, I got to name this thing, make a separate Facebook for it. And this was after the first week because I felt really weird about like posting the pictures, but like people donated money and food. So I'm like, all right, we got to make a page. And, you know, so I named it. And initially it was Grateful Recovering Addicts Caring for Each Other. Then I was like, nope, it's going to be everyone. I don't just want to do Kensington. Like, let's make this bigger. And then we took that out completely. And the idea with like the acronym and going with grace, like we're showing people grace. But it became a lot more than just recovering addicts. You know, I think now our volunteers are probably like 20% people in recovery and then 80% people that, you know, have never even touched a drink or a drug or just have a loved one that suffers from it or have like no tie to addiction at all. And they just care. They're just good people, you know? So it grew from there. And that was really, eventually I was like, okay, I only have about, I think it was like a year, a little over a year sober. So people wanted to donate money. And I was like, well, you know, I want to protect the integrity of this. I want to protect the funds. So like, let's incorporate that way. If anything happens with me, Grace Project lives on. It can continue to grow and continue to thrive. And here we are. And it's just kind of been like this whirlwind experience of me learning how to run a nonprofit and, you know, learning about everything that goes into it and how much more we can do to help, you know, so developing more programs. We now have 3 of them. People think we're addiction focused. We're not, like I said, we're hope focused. So it's poverty, addiction, or sickness. I look for things in the community. I see how we can get involved. I actually just called my team to say, hey, can we see if we can round up some jackets for the jail? You know, and that's kind of what it's about, just seeing where we can help and, you know, where we can be a good fit to bring hope to people and where it's needed. And that's the Grace Project.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So when did you exactly start the Grace Project?
2020. August of 2020. Yeah. So it was in the midst of everything with COVID. And like I said, I didn't expect it to be what it is, especially starting. So it was kind of like a lot of the nonprofits that would go out into Kensington weren't going out because of COVID. Like they weren't supposed to, not because they didn't want to, but they weren't supposed to. Like cops didn't want it, understandably so. And me and my mom were like, well, we're going to do it anyway. We know these people need food. And if, you know, they need resources, I have connections to get them resources, you know, and that's how it started. And things just continued to grow. And now we're still doing it. We go out every single Thursday night. We've placed countless people in treatment. I've had tons of people reach out after saying, you know, thank you. Like the one kid, he actually is about to get on supervised visits with his daughter again. You know, he's working full time. Like it's a beautiful thing. And it's something that we definitely didn't expect, especially starting a nonprofit in the midst of a pandemic. So, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like even talking to Mike, it's always surprising when you guys, he said the first Reentry Coalition meeting, he was amazed to see the amount of people show up that did show up. Why do you think that is, that, you know, you guys have this apprehension and then you see how many people actually come and show up?
I think it's because when you give people the opportunity to help with something, they are going to take advantage of that. You know, people are good for the most part. Like, of course, there's bad people out there, but like, people want to help. It's just a lot of times they don't know how to, or they don't necessarily know how to start their own thing. So they're always looking for something to get involved with. For me, I think it was like, you know, my life was surrounded by a lot of darkness for so long. And of course, I had these strangers and, you know, I had my family and I had these different people that did show me light in my life. But I was used to a really dark world. So I was very blown away when I saw how many people wanted to get involved and how quickly things continued to grow. But now, like, it's so funny how perspective changes, because now that I live in that, like, nonprofit world and the world of, like, helping people in the community, I see there's so much good in the world and there's so many people who want to help, you know, and I'm not shocked by anything anymore. People want to do good things. Like, the world is really a beautiful place. There's a lot of dark parts, but at the end of the day, you know, give people a way to do something good and a lot of people are going to jump on board with that.
Mm-hmm. And that's really what the ReCoalition is all about,
right?
Bringing that together. So, I mean, what would you say, you know, to people who maybe are just as involved individuals? What do you just want them to know about the Reentry Coalition and what's being done here at the county?
That we're here to help. You know, I think for myself, when I was still in the system, up until this last time around, I always thought that the system was working against me. And granted, like, there's good people in the system. And again, there's bad, there's always both sides of things, right? You know, but there's people that want to help. And I was shown that when I joined drug court, you know, and they really went above and beyond for me and in a sense helped save my life. But people that don't necessarily have that drug court structure, like, reentry is a way that they can get all of those resources in one place where they can reach out to anyone that's part of the Reentry Coalition cares. So if somebody sees someone that, you know, is actively involved with it, talk to them, ask them for assistance, ask them, you know, to help navigate, whether that's the website or, hey, I need this resource or that one, utilize it. Because I think that there's a lot of times people don't realize how much potential they have because fear is getting in the way, right? So, like, whether that's, okay, well, I have this horrible record, I'm never going to get a job or make anything of myself, or I'm never going to find an apartment that's going to let me rent because of my criminal background. What I can say is, like, that's not the case necessarily, right? There's people that want to help. There's people that want to give second chances. I have a great career today. You know, I have an apartment that I rent in my name. You know, I have a car in my name. Like, I have all of these things that I didn't think that it was possible, but I just needed to ask for help along the way. I needed guidance. And reentry is a place where people can get guidance for really any aspect of their life that is a barrier from a criminal record. We probably have a resource for it.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I like how you say about the system working against you, because I think that's almost the whole goal of the Reentry Coalition is to figure out what's wrong with the system and what they can do.
Yeah. Lower recidivism, you know, stop that revolving door. I remember the first time I was in jail, I remember saying, I'm never coming back. And a CO saying, they always come back. He was right that time around, but I've now stopped going back. You know, I've finally found the resources and done what I had to do to turn everything around. And I haven't been back since, you know.
Mm-hmm. And went above and beyond. I mean, what you're doing is amazing. Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much. Is there anything else just that you want to say or share?
I don't think so. I mean, I think if anybody has resources that they can add to the table for reentry, let us know. You know, it's anything that can help people as they're leaving and they're getting reintroduced into freedom and being independent and, you know, living on their own. I think that the more people that we have involved that are passionate about this and actually care and have something to offer, come join us.
That's great. Megan, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and for all that you do.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for this episode of Bucks County Conversations. Thanks again to Mike and Megan for coming on the podcast. For more information about the Reentry Coalition, please visit bucksreentry.com. There are links to job fairs coming up, next meetings, and an email address to reach out. Mike says every email is answered. And for more information about the Grace Project, check out teamgraceproject.com. They're also on Facebook and Instagram. I'll put some links in the show notes. And thanks for listening to Bucks County Conversations. There will be another episode next month, so in the meantime, check out season one and follow your good old county government on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Just search Bucks County Gov. That's Bucks County, G-O-V-T. Until next time, I'm Charlotte Reese. This is Bucks County Conversations.